Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, you guys, welcome to Temple of Hoop Live. We're here. I'm going to try to keep Kings under control. I just saw his agenda come to full fruition.
King, you echoing, my boy. You echoing, my boy.
Hold on. Is it good now?
There you go.
Yeah.
My man out there with the crickets.
I think it was my phone charger.
Oh, okay. But yeah, so back to it. Kings. Andrew Wiggins, the agenda, it was here. I mean, let us have it, Kings. Let us have it. Warriors win 104-94. Kings, 2-8 masterclass, 26-13. Lockdown defense. Talk to us, man.
He is who he said he was. That's all I got to say. Business is booming. The brand is healthy. Andrew Wiggins is here. Man, they was talking about, oh, he's going to be a salary dump next season. Now they talk about, oh, we need to make him a Warrior as long as possible. You're damn straight. Andrew Wiggins is a baller. I've been telling people for years, buy low, sell high. Wiggins is at all-time high right now. If you want to sell the stock, I get it. But I'm holding because I told y'all Andrew Wiggins had all the physical tools to be a positive player. Look, not everybody can be a star, okay? Not everybody can be a superstar, but a guy like that, you know what I mean, with the physical tools he had, with the skill set he had, there is no way he was not going to be an impactful player unless if he was in the right situation. So when that trade happened with the Warriors, this is what I expected when they got healthy. I expected him to be able to play off the gravity of Klay and Steph. I expected him to be, you know, that two-way monster now that he had Draymond Green helping him on the back end and being coached up properly. On the defensive side of the ball by the coaching staff. I knew with just the right coaching staff, the right guys who believed in his ability, you know, I think I got to give Kerr credit for his philosophy. As much as people get on him for the strength in numbers, you can tell he believes in his role players. And that belief in the role players helps maximize them, helps give them confidence to play how they play. And, you know, that's strength in numbers is power of the dynasty, man. I mean, obviously Steph is the main, he's the engine, but outside of Steph, you know what I mean? And, you know, the Game 6 Klay, the Draymond Masterclass, I mean, these role players, like, they really just, they make Golden State go. You know what I mean? It seems like every single time they retool with role players, they're always coming up big. You know what I mean? You saw it with Barbosa, Livingston, Mo Buckets, and all them. Then when KD was here, you still had Dre, you still had Livingston. You know, given their timely plays, even JaVale McGee was hustling when he was over there. He credits Golden State helping them turn his career around. And then now you have Andrew Wiggins, you have Jordan Poole, you have Gary Payton II from the D League. Like, I mean, this is just, it's just Golden State has a good job of just maximizing role players, and you gotta credit Kerr's philosophy. Maybe Ricky G was right. We might be underselling Kerr all time.
Man. I don't know how I'm going to follow that, but let's talk about this, because on the Boston side, you got to be upset because you lose a game. Steph, this is Steph's first game without a three-pointer since November 1st, 2018. Okay, Steph and Wiggins combined 0 for 15 from 3. The Warriors as a whole shoot 9 for 40 from 3. They only shoot 15 free throws, and you lose. Mm-hmm. So do you think Boston can recover from this, or do you think this is the type of game that maybe beats you twice? They do have 2 days off, though, I believe. So, you know, they got a lot of time to you know, let it wash away, or maybe they dwell on it. Who knows? But this feels like a mental shot in the gut, this game, and not being able to win this one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're going to be playing at home. the role players are going to play better. Boston has been resilient all playoffs. I'm not going to count them out. This is not the team to do that with. They've been in through the wars. At this point with Boston, it's like, all right, we got knocked down. Let's put the chips on the table and let's see what happens in game six. I mean, that's going to be their mentality. That's how they played all throughout the playoffs. That's what I expect them to do come game six. They're going to get 2 days rest to be able to recharge, and they're going to come back and see what they could do. Boston's not going to fold. The Warriors are just going to have to beat Boston.
Man, so next thing I want to talk about is Clay. I thought late in game four and tonight all night, you know, his defense had been kind of iffy for me since he came back, which was expected, you know, two extremely, you know, debilitating injuries for a professional athlete. But I thought last two games, he's been excellent defensively for the most part, especially late in game four, late in tonight all night. I thought he was pretty good. This was like a vintage Clay game, 7 of 14, gets 21, 5 of 11 from three, played great defense. Do you feel like, you know, do they extend this? Like, how long does this go? Like, the Washington gets expensive, but if Clay can play like this, you got Wiggins. Man, this is just a scary team going forward. I got to ask you, Kings, why you on this high? Is Wiggins your finals MVP?
Come on, man. I'm not going to go that far.
I got to get you on wax.
I'll push the propaganda, but come on. Steph's the finals MVP. If you're being serious, Steph's the finals MVP. Will I push the Wiggins finals MVP agenda? Absolutely. I'm hoping we get to game seven and Steph gives us more stinkers and then Wiggins takes them home. Absolutely. That's what I'm rooting for. But right now, Steph is the finals MVP.
Okay, I got you. I tried to get you on wax. I was going to screen record the snippet and post on the timeline at 9 a.m. if you said Wiggins was finals MVP. I was trying to set you up.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Let's talk on the Celtics side a little bit. Just that team cannot stop shooting itself in the foot. I think the finals experience thing was played. The card was played before the series by people who were making predictions. I did not think it has been an issue, except these last two games. I feel like it's reared its ugly head for the Celtics. Like, they're lacking situational experience, not getting, you know, key stops, not getting the correct guy to ball in the right spots in big situations. I think they've just failed miserably at mainly those two things in this series. I think it's burning. It's why they're down 3-2. And I guess situationally, they've been real bad this series. On top of that, the turnover bug in their losses, man, it just really, it really, really, you know, destroys any momentum they pick up during the game. And it's why they're down 3-2, man. Just, do you think they can overcome this turnover thing? They turn the ball over against the Warriors. They kill you every time.
I don't think they can, because they don't got a point guard. You know what I mean? That's been the Achilles heel, and they're gonna run offense through Jason Tatum, they're gonna run offense through Jaylen Brown, and then they're gonna run offense through Marcus Smart. I mean, you know, Jaylen Brown can't dribble. Jason Tatum, Jason Tatum is like, you know, I don't even know if he's an average playmaker. I mean, he can make some if the reads are pretty easy. I'm not sure he's gonna be a type of guy who could potentially set guys up even to the level of a Paul George. And, you know, it's Marcus Smart. Like, yeah, so, you know, nothing more need to be said there. Derek White is like a combo guard. He's not really a facilitator. He's a nice little glue guy. He's a nice little you know, guy who can help swing the rock, you know, maybe dribble the ball up the court to initiate the offense, but he's not going to get guys to their spots. You know what I'm saying? Like, so without the guard, it's just, they just going to have to keep doing what they've been doing to get here. You know, they keep running the same offensive sets they've been running. Going to have to keep getting the same looks that they've been getting and just hope they hit their shots. Hope they create enough dribble penetration, enough and help beat their guys off the dribble and, you know, draw the help in for open threes or, you know, be able to finish at the rim. And or like Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown just win their one-on-ones. Like, that's really it. And, you know, I mean, hopefully Derek White and Marcus Smart can give you some nice back cuts or some nice drives here and there. You know, or Horford hit some threes, Garland hit some threes, but yeah, I mean, there's really nothing special they can do at this point. They are who they are at this point, you know, just got to live and die with it.
Yeah, it's rough, man. You look at the non-garbage time minutes. So, you know, Aaron Nesmith got 3 points in the last minute of the game. Luke Kornet got 3 points last minute of the game. Outside of that, they got 4 bench points. Grant Williams got 3, and Derek White got 1. So they got 4 bench points in non garbage minutes. You know, you can't win on the road like that. You can't win on the road like that. Just real tough. To be fair, they only played 8 guys, but you know, Derek White was probably the worst game I saw him play all playoffs, to be honest. Grant Williams, you know, nothing. And Peyton Pritchard missed every shot he took. And they had him on defense. He's always rough. So they just got nothing from the bench. Let's talk Tatum. Mm-hmm. How did you feel about his game tonight? I thought first quarter was strangely passive, was kind of it was weird given the magnitude of the game. Second quarter and third quarter, really aggressive, heated it up. Fourth quarter is 2 things. I think, one, he got tired, and I also think Wiggins made a way more concerted effort to stay attached to him, to make sure he was the matchup and not give him the same looks he was getting, you know, throughout the second and third quarter. And I think those 2 things, he just went ice cold late. So what did you think about the game that Tatum had?
He started off slow. He was struggling to get separation off Wiggins, started hunting the guards, started hitting his jumpers. But that Wiggins matchup is just hell for him. I mean, he's struggling to get any type of room off. He has to hit fadeaways on Wiggins. Wiggins is playing the type of defense where, you know, and I'm going to, you know, give your GOAT some love here, Maples. Wiggins playing the type of defense that Kobe would hit these type of shots and people would go crazy. And then a lot of analytics guys wouldn't get why Kobe got the love that he did. But look at some of these fadeaways Tatum was taking. That was air balls. That was stuff that Kobe would hit. And he hit them so much that, you know, a lot of people think that's easy. It's not easy to hit those type of shots. You know what I mean? It's not easy to hit those type of shots against, you know, good defenders who are sticking you and making your life hell to get to your spots. So, I mean, for when it comes to Wiggins, Tatum's just going to have to be a tough shot maker. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just what it is. You know, Wiggins is not going to give him anything easy. So you're going to have to hit your fadeaways. You're going to have to maximize the little degree of space you do get and just hit your shots. Like, that's the only way Tatum going to be able to get his on Wiggins.
Yeah, it's just, I agree, man. It's just, there's no athletic advantage. Wiggins is like wiry. Tatum's a strong guy. I think Wiggins is like wiry, a real wiry strong. You know, Tatum has to be able to knock him off his spot. The lateral quickness, you know, Tatum obviously is not a great ball handler, so he can't blow by him or create tons of space that way. He's just going to have to make tough shots. I think he did that tonight, second and third quarter. He maybe got, you know, Wiggins once or twice, but the rest of it was, mm-hmm. you know, was a lot of it was on switches, which is, I think, is good for Udoka. He's recognizing this tough and getting him on better matchups. So I think that's good coaching by the Celtics staff. But, you know, Wiggins takes a task to him. It's tough. Let's talk the other Jay, Jaylen Brown. Probably the worst game I've seen him play all playoffs, just driving out of control, wild shots. I think the Warriors have a lot of his tendencies, Scott. Every time he jumps mm-hmm. in the air, a Warriors player runs right to the diagonal across the court because they know that's mm-hmm. where he's throwing. He had 5 turnovers, and I think 3 were just doing that. Just jumping in the air and just throwing that court ball across the court. And there was a Warrior just sitting there waiting for it. Like, I think we've all said this. Me and you said this. By this point in the series, they have you know, your plays are scouted, your tendencies are scouted. It's a matter of who can go out there and get to it in a rock fight. And I think, you know, the Warriors are generating a lot better offense consistently. I think that's like the overlying theme of the last couple games. What did you think about Jaylen Brown tonight?
Yeah, man. He's you know, he makes that. That was a great point what you said about how they have a guy when he's trying to drive and get in the air, they run to the, you know, cross court because he is prone to making that pass. And it's an easy steal if, you know, if you read that tendency. So that's a great job on the film by there by Golden State. Also, you know, like the boy John River said, like his handle's getting exposed. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I told one of my mutuals who's a C's fan, because I personally thought, you know, if you play Kuminga, he could have got some Cardi minutes, but he was telling me, oh, Jaylen Brown was going to do Kuminga like John Moran. I was like, hold on, bro. Jaylen Brown don't have the handles. You know what I mean? You're kind of seeing it now with the defense that Golden State's playing on. They're challenging him to hit combo moves to get his game off and to be able to set guys up, you know what I mean, when he's trying to drive or he's trying to create offense for either himself or his role players. They're challenging him to do that with his dribble. And he's not rising to the occasion. You know, at least not this game. He didn't rise to the occasion this game. So that's not something they can fix. So like I said, they're just going to have to double down on what they do well and just hope it works game 6 and 7.
Right. I agree. Last play I want to discuss before we – maybe a couple more players I want to discuss before we open it up and take a couple calls and then get out of here. I got to say this. We've been hard on him. I thought Draymond played an excellent game tonight.
Shout out John Rivers. He said he'd answer the call.
Yeah, I thought Draymond played an excellent game tonight. The Warriors won like 90% of the games. When he scores double digits, he scored 11 points, which is like a certain victory for them. He did foul out, but I thought his aggression on both ends was very good. 6 assists, only 2 turnovers, which is the main thing. No silly turnovers. Mm-hmm. Took 6 shots, made both his free throws. I think he just had an excellent all-around game. What did you see from Draymond?
I mean, he started well. He came out trying to set the tone, right? 4 points, right. 2 assists right out the gate. Showed that he was locked in, ready to go. Defensively, flying around, you know, making his plays, making his disruptions on the help side. And, you know, offensively playing within himself. You know, I mean, not doing too much, not trying to be overly aggressive, understanding what his role is on offense and defense and just executing. He got sat for the end of the game. You're not going to hear him complain about it. He's just going to keep doing what he's doing. And I think Coach Ricky G, I think, had a great point when Kerr benched him. I think it was game 4? You know, it was a game, game 4. And Kerr benched him game 4. Coach Ricky G said that it might have dawned on Draymond that if he wants to get good minutes on the floor, he's going to have to be effective in his role, offense and defense. He can't trick off, can't cat off. You know what I mean? He can't, you know, just be wild and just mess around with the refs all game. He's going to have to be a positive player. I think you saw this game. I mean, it's Draymond Green. He can't help himself. You saw the scuffle with Tatum. But you know what I mean? But most of the game composed, focused on the task and was executing. You know, when Draymond's locked in, they hard to beat, boy. I mean, yeah, for all the faults offensively. You know, the thing with Draymond, it's funny with Draymond because it's like, if you actually look over the course of his career, he's really not a scrub offensively, honestly. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. He's not. He just won't shoot. That's the thing people
get upset about. Like this was a guy in you know, at the height of, you know, light years and at the height of, you know, strength in numbers. This was a guy who was a consistent double digit points per game guy. Like, this was a guy who could potentially get you 30 in a playoff game. You know what I mean? So he's not a scrub offensively. He's just something happened with his confidence. Maybe he got complacent, got lazy, some other stories and all that I won't get into. But, you know, he needs to just play with confidence. He needs to just refine his offensive game and stick to the things he does well and just execute. And I think he, at least for what he does well now, he did that in this game. That's what he was focused on doing.
Yeah, man. And then the last couple guys, I definitely want to shout out. I thought Jordan Poole and GP2 were excellent in their minutes. Gary Payton, second, man. Dude, almost out the league. Dude was about to try to become the Warriors video coordinator, bro. That was when he was tired of the G League grind. He was going to try to become the video coordinator. Finally sticks. Game 5 of a 3-2 game. Puts up 15 points, 5 rebounds, and 3 steals in a game 5. Is the plus 16 in 26 minutes, man. Just what a story, bro. What a story. I thought GP2 was one of the guys who actually helped swing the game tonight.
From the G League, man.
Yeah, all over the G League, man. You know what's weird? Remember the Warriors vets, they wanted Kerr to keep Avery Bradley.
Yeah.
Kerr was like, nah, I'm keeping Gary. I'm keeping Gary Payton the second.
Hey, light years, their front office, Steve Kerr, their philosophy, it works. It works.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, obviously the Jordan Poole, you got to gauge the defense versus the offense. Obviously, that's always going to be the thing. But I thought, you know, for the 14 minutes, he put 14 points in 14 minutes, just a microwave tonight, 3-for-6 from three. I thought the three he hit at the end of the third quarter was deflating to Boston, like the start of the deflation.
Oh, yeah.
They have fought back, took the lead. Klay hit those two big threes when Boston looked like they were going to try to go up double digits. Klay hit those two big threes back-to-back. And then Jordan Poole hits that one to give them the lead, give the Warriors lead in the third quarter. I just thought that was a rough sequence for Boston when they could have took, you know, more control of the game after fighting back and put like a 6-7 point lead. Then Klay hit those two threes back-to-back to bring it back to one. I thought that was a crippling sequence for the Celtics. I just thought Jordan Poole was really good in short minutes. But what killed Boston also, the beginning of that fourth quarter, they can't get their ass whooped in the non-Steph minutes. That was some nasty business in the beginning of the fourth quarter. Do you think that was fatigue or they just got out-executed or what happened there? That was a nasty, you know, 3-4 minutes without Steph on the floor. They just got kind of whooped.
Yeah, man. I mean, for me, it's like you can't – Steph goes 0 of 9 from 3. You can't play this bad, bro. You have to win this game, I think. Right. I picked the C's to win this game. They had, you know, I mean, they had every single chance to win this game with how bad they play, and they gave it away. You know what I mean? And this was, you're not going to get, Steph's not going to play that bad again, bro. You know what I mean? We know Steph is not going to play this bad again. So, if you're the Celtics, You really just have to double down on what you did well to win the two games that you won, and both defensively and offensively. I think you probably have to, you know, guard Steph how you guard him, let him try to get off, and then guard everyone else, because you know this game, you know, the others carried it off. You know what I mean?
Right.
They tried to throw more bodies at Steph, and Steph obviously passed it off, and you had the advantages created by Golden State. So they just have to double down what they do well and just ride that out for game 6 and 7. At this point, everybody's seen every adjustment. You can't make adjustments that aren't available for your roster and for the skill set of your guys. So it's just do what you do best.
There it is, man. I feel you. Before we get out of here, we're going to take calls tonight. Let's take a few. If you want to just tap in, hit that request button. Get in there, ask a question or something you thought about the game, something we maybe missed. We'll hash it out, man. Let's get it.
Yes, sir.
Dennis, you there?
Yeah, you guys can hear me?
Yeah. Dennis, what's good, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm from Kenya, so it's about 7 a.m. Up here. I'm just getting ready to leave for work. One of the guys usually gives Jason some shit for his Wiggins take. But about today, on Twitter, that is, about to get today's game, I don't know whether you guys think the Warriors are due for a three-point explosion. I think, like, we've been really missing a lot of our open threes, and it doesn't make sense to me. I don't know whether you guys feel like we're due one game where Otto will see a few fall. Wiggins has been great this series, but very, very below his standards when it comes to three on the in the finals. And and last but not least, I don't think if the turnover battle ends 18-6 to the Warriors, again, we're going to win this in six. Go Dubs.
Man, thank you. First of all, I appreciate you, Dennis, man. That's love tapping in.
Real talk, man.
Go to work, man. Appreciate that for sure. Man, so I'll say this. I'm apologizing for Wiggins. I had some wild Wiggins tweets earlier in the season. So way to hold me accountable, Dennis.
thankful for my guy right there.
So shout out, Dennis. You right. I have since apologized. What I will say is, I still think Brandon Ingram should have made the All-Star team over Wiggins. But I will say, in the playoffs, Wiggins has completely shut me up. He's been a championship team second best player, and I think that's the highest compliment I can give him right now. As far as the second thing. Well, I don't know. 3-point mid-range is weird, man. For Wiggins, I think Wiggins is spending so much energy on the glass.
Right.
Guarding their best player. His 3-point percentage isn't shocking to me, nor is it bothering me, because he's affecting the game so well in other areas. And he plays over 40 minutes a game, rebounds like a madman on an undersized roster, and defends the best player. So, struggles from three aren't going to move me. What about you, Kings?
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm not moved by 3-point shooting because, like we see all the time, guys are going to break shots when it comes to the playoffs. I mean, Curry just went 0-9 from three. That's the greatest shooter of all time. You know what I'm saying? So you got to be able to affect the game. Are you having a high impact of the game everywhere else? And you see what Wiggins doing, defense and rebounding, two of the most important things to do when it comes to the playoffs. And his defense isn't just some regular defense on a role player. No, he's doing it against, the number one option. So if you got a guy who's doing his thing on the number one option, he's giving you 10-plus rebounds, and he's giving you 18 to 20 a game, or at least high teens. It's like, come on, man. We not worried about no 3-point shoot.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's kind of it right there. I 100% agree with that. You gotta give something. By the end of the day, these guys, they're athletes, but they're human. It's like, it's so much the body can do. You got a dude out there fighting for his life against a bigger roster, leading the team in rebounding. Like King said, guard, not just, the number one option on the other team, a guy who's been tearing it up all playoffs pretty much. I don't know if the legs are going to be there to shoot great from three. You'd like to see him, knock a couple down, but I understand it. Do you think they hit a switch on that regard in game six, Kings? You think they overdue for some positive regression?
You talk about from the Warriors' 3-point shooting?
Yeah, I mean, Steph, it's crazy. Steph went 0-9. He's still over 40% for the series.
Yeah, no, they reminded me that.
That's kind of crazy. But I'm just in general, Clay the last couple games, I think he's coming around. But, just guys like, Wiggins is the main one, really. He's kind of overdue for some positive aggression.
It's just tough, though, because you know what? The Warriors are playing such good defense. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for them to do. To play great defense and to be able to shoot well. I think the guys who aren't asked to defend as much from a workload perspective, Jordan Poole and Curry, they're going to have to keep hitting their threes. And Clay, he's going to keep hitting his threes. And I think Wiggins, as long as he's over 30%, I know you'd want him at least 35. If he can hit 30 to 35%, I think they'll be okay. Because I think Poole and Curry will be able to hit their threes, and then Clay will hit his threes.
Yeah, I think they're good. I think their offense is so diverse too, like not dependent on threes like a lot of other teams.
Right.
So I think they'll still be able to generate. They scored 104 points tonight, going 9 for 43. You know what I mean? So that's kind of is what it is there. Jake, talk to us.
What's going on, y'all? I missed the game tonight. Big fans of the podcast. Just wanted to ask, again, I went into these playoffs not really believing that the Warriors were a championship-level team. I feel like I haven't seen many comps for them in the past. I was just curious what your thoughts are on, some comps from the past and how this team is where they are right now.
That is a great question, actually. I like those type of questions. I really don't have a comp. I don't. Like, that's just I think the Warriors are a unique team. Like, the style they play, like Kings was just talking about earlier about the strength in numbers, I think is very unique. Maybe the Spurs Kings with the star who buys into the system and a bunch of guys who the system elevates and they play around that guy. Maybe. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, they're kind of just unique, bro. I mean, you know what I mean? Because it's like it's not really the 10 Spurs because, you know, Curry's playing at a level I don't think any of the stars on the Spurs was playing in the 10s. You know what I mean? But they do have a bunch of nice, good role guys here. They're unique, man. Golden State is just, it's its own footprint, bro. You know what I mean? Light years is its own footprint. You can't really compare these guys to anybody else because they did it their own way. Homegrown stars. You know, they did it with strength in numbers. They did it with an all-time team and all-time talent. And now they're doing it again with reloaded role players. You know, they revived somebody's career. And, you know, they're developing their young guys along the way now, too. So they're just their own thing, man. It's if you have to compare them to somebody, just compare them to themselves. Just call it light years. That's just it.
Yeah, I think it's probably funny to compare the, you know, I think that honestly, Kings, this might be the closest thing they had to the 15 team, I'm thinking. You know what I mean?
To the what?
To the 2015 team, the one that.
Oh, yeah. No, of course, yeah. That's what I said. If anything, compare them to themselves. Right,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. This is like the closest thing to their 2015 iteration, I think, you know, where maybe the second guy's not a superstar. They have a whole bunch of really good, you know, second and third tier guys who make up for that, kind of contribute in that area. So. Yeah, good question, Jake, man. I appreciate that. That's actually dope. I like that. That made me think a little bit, man. That was dope.
I appreciate the answer, and again, I asked just because going into these playoffs, even though I thought they match up well with the Suns, it just didn't seem like a championship-level team, but now they're here, and Steph's doing it again, so.
Yeah, I thought they would lose to Memphis because of some of the things that the Celtics are giving them trouble with. I thought Memphis could do. But Memphis played, man, like they never played a playoff game before. That was kind of disgusting how they played playoff basketball.
Are you supposed to be surprised, bro? You saw what they did against us.
That's what I'm saying, but I made it before. That's why I said I made my prediction before the playoffs.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I didn't think they looked like they never played a playoff game before. That's what I was saying. Even against Minnesota, I'm like, this looks ridiculous. It's like two teams that had never been there before. Memphis had, and Minnesota hadn't, so. Man, that was just, you know, disappointing. But the Warriors handled that, man. I thought Memphis was going to be their toughest matchup. I'm with Kings. I thought they were very favorable against the Suns. You know what I mean? So, yeah, they're here again, man. They won't go away.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you, boys.
All good, man.
You booking here? Yo, what's up? What's up, everybody? Big fan of the show. Big fan of the show. Just wanted to ask a quick question to both of you guys, just because of how Boston has kind of changed their philosophy on sticking to Steph a little bit more, you know, kind of like picking your poison. What would you guys do if you're Boston? I feel like they kind of pushed the panic button a little bit this game and kind of let all the other guys get off. So I just wanted to hear you guys' approach because now you're going to game six and now you got Gary Payton who's seen the ball go through the hoop a little bit. Clay's obviously getting hot, so. What's your approach on that? What do you guys think Boston should do?
That's a good question. My thing was I told Kings this. My thing is you never give a great player a steady diet of the same thing. He's just gonna get comfortable and adjust. And I think that's what the mistake they made was in game four when he had 43, just in a drop and Steph just ate it up all night. It seems like they go on one thing every game and don't mix it up. And I think, you know, the Warriors ultimately adjust because they're so experience, got this championship moxie. So I think that's the issue. The stuff is going to have to get more exotic within the game, in my opinion, in game six. What do you think, Gary?
Yeah, I mean, I think I told you I think they're just going to have to do what they was doing before. Guard Steph how they was guarding before, make him hit his shots and sit on the other guys. I think that gave him the best chance. It's just, you can't really try to take Steph out like this because the other guys are just, they're good NBA players. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't 2019 championship where Steph was there with G League guys because, you know, they had they had the front, the, you know, the top loaded roster, and they lost two of their max stars. I mean, this isn't that. This is a well balanced roster. Jordan Poole can play. Andrew Wiggins can play. Otto Porter can hit shots. You know what I'm saying? You can't just load up on Steph, and then Looney can finish and he can rebound. You know what I mean? So you can't just load up on Steph. You know, everybody tries to do the strategy playing off Draymond, but Draymond, like I said, he's a high IQ guy. So even if you load off him, he can win on the numbers matchup. You know, he's proven that over throughout his career because he's a very smart guy. He can handle the ball and pass. So go like what the Celtics did to win their two games, they're just going to have to do that and double down at this point. They've tried these other adjustments for the past two games, and they haven't worked. So go back to what was working. Yeah.
And I think that to piggyback on the Kings' point, I think, you know, they ultimately do enough. I think what gets the Celtics in trouble is when they turn the ball over and get the Warriors out in transition. I think in the half court, they actually do a decent enough job when they've got it's whether it's the balls being taken out and they can get back instead of a live ball turnover. So I think that's the issue. They turn the ball over, and if they score or just, you know, have the ball being taken out instead of live ball turnover, they can set their defense. I think that also will help them out a lot. But
you know, I would say that, but like even in this game, like if they had to hit 8 threes in a row to get back in this game. You know what I'm saying? And like they shoot really well throughout this playoffs, but they had to hit 8 threes in a row to get back in the game. I don't like the strategy they used this game because it was uphill from tip off.
Yeah, and I agree that I said what exacerbates that is they turned the ball though. Like they had this, right. I think it was 11 in the first half, so it was just a lot of turnovers again to let the Warriors get out and run. But yeah, I think you're right. You know, they. That team relies on a lot of variance. I think we can both agree on that.
I think they have more margin for error though when they're shutting the other guys down because Curry can only get up so many shots in the game. You know what I mean? It's only so much energy Curry can exert offensively. You know what I mean? And if you're targeting defensively, you're making him exert even more energy. So if you're locking down the other guys, you have more margin for error when the other guys are struggling. It's just Curry, but when multiple guys got it going, they're feeling good, they're seeing the ball go in, they're able to read the defense and play off the advantages. Now those turnovers are bad because it's multiple scoring threats now. It's not just, oh, you know, we'll make Curry exert energy to beat us this possession. It's not. Gary Payton can hit. Poole can hit. Wiggins got it going. You know, Draymond Green is hitting the short lob. Like, it's not, you know what I mean? It's way more difficult now because now other guys got it going. And your defensive game plan is compromised because you're turning the ball over and you're already at disadvantage anyway because you're trying to, you know, throw more looks at Steph, but now you're turning the ball over. So now that these guys who were warmed up, who got going, now they're down there attacking you without your set defense. You know what I'm saying? So it's like they need to go back, I think, to what win them those two games and just double down. I mean, it's game 6, game 7. You just have to keep doubling down on what's working.
Right. I think also in these do or die situations, you got to be more willing to change during the game too if something's not working because it's do or die at this point. You know what I mean? It's no tomorrow.
Right, exactly. Just have to keep playing.
Right. And appreciate that, Q Buggy.
No, I appreciate you guys, you know, having me on. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
All good. Well, all right. Make sure you follow Agnes Kingsborough on Twitter, myself, JJMaples55 _ MST. Subscribe, rate the pod. We appreciate all the feedback. Once again, you guys, 100th episode, show us a lot of love on that. That's dope. Appreciate all the love and support you guys are giving. Again, we're going to try to keep it pushing for as long as we can. We both got outside life stuff going on. We're going to try to keep pumping them out as long as y'all keep showing love and we got time. We will be back after Thursday's game live. Y'all be safe. We are out of here.
Yes, sir. Peace, y'all.